Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Paul Ryder Tapes. We have got an icon of 90s Manchester culture. He was with Paul through the brightest and the darkest of times and lived through his own struggles, but came through smiling. He's another person offering hope to those of you out there who might be struggling. He roaded for the Mondays in the very early days and shuffled his stuff on stage with the Roses. It is the mighty, the legendary, the lovely Cressa.
Hiya, I'm Cressa. I used to know a horse, Paul Ryder, from back in the day. We were good pals. We were into the same music, drugs, clobber, and women. Unfortunately, the same women at some times, but hey-ho, such is life for a young man. Yeah, so horse was horse and Cressa was Cressa. Yeah, lovely geezer, sort of one.
I don't think we've ever met. Have we ever met?
We have met, but not.
Yeah, we have. But I've kept track of you over the years. So yeah, I'm really glad that you're doing really well. That's brilliant. Really good.
I won't say really well, but I'm you know, back on my feet. I'm keeping on.
Great. Yeah. Good for you. No, it's a major. I mean, I know I've lived through stuff with Paul, so I know about the struggle. I know about the struggle. Yeah. So congratulations, that's really brilliant.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was begging on the street. I was out there. I was, you know, lost everything. Didn't have nothing.
But you're a kind of beacon of hope, aren't you, for other people who might be going through something similar.
Well, thankfully, Dave Aslam wrote that book about me. And last year we did a few book, you know, sort of blah. And that was really good because people got a really good vibe off it that I was, you know, But I mean, there's a lot of people that have been there and come back. But it was just nice to be vindicated, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You're just have a little bit of me talking juice.
Okay, so... So when did you first meet Paul?
Hacienda. Yeah. Got to have been about 85. The Mondays were just starting to hang about in there, and I was hanging about in there all the time. And my mate Little Martin, who ended up becoming Mike Pickering's right-hand man, MP Squared, doing the house music, but this is before that. He was a DJ in the ass. And we used to do a night... Well, I say we... I'd always be there with him. A psychedelic night on the Tuesdays in the downstairs bar. And I think the Mondays had come over from rehearsing at the boardwalk And there'd only be about them and maybe four or five other people. It wasn't very successful. but then Bez started turning up. And he's like, whoa, he's a character. So, you know, we started meeting them and bum bum. But, we just got on from the off. I mean, it was Paul that first said to me, jump in the van, you know, to come to a gig, which was great. I mean, the first two times, I got stood up. I waited outside the boardwalk for about 2 hours and they must have already gone. I went all the way up to Swinton one time on a bus and waited there. They're not coming, are they? But the third time I got in, because it was a transit van in them days, you know, it was proper basic. And that once, the first time I got in the back of the van with them, that was it. I was there for every gig after that. And it was Horst that said, you know, come on, Chris.
Tell me about him in those early days.
He was a little bit in shadow of Sean, obviously, because Sean has his massive character and ego, but also had his own personality as well. You know, he wasn't trying to copy. He wasn't in any way mimicking Sean or any, you know, he was his own man. You know, he had his own definite ideas about music and style and everything. I mean, that first album that they did, his bass playing is just, for me, that's the Mondays, is the first album that 24 Hour Party People possibly play, Can't Smile That Out. That for me is, that's the Mondays for me, because that was when I was in the back of the van with them and going places. I mean, let me think. Camden's Dingwall. Yeah, Dingwall's in Camden, 1980, early 86. There's a McDonald's around the corner, and we've gone round there and got a cup of coffee each, gone upstairs, put a gram of whiz each in our cups, drank that. So after that, every time we did a gig, it was like, Chris, we're going for a spicy brew. All right then, yeah, let's find a McDonald's. So that was the joke. Then every time after his sound, once he'd done his sound check, Chris, spicy brew. Come on then, I'm coming then. But it was, you know, with us, it was his laugh. He just had that, I can't do it, but just the way he'd just do that. You know, it was almost like a cough and a laugh. It was just like a bark almost. But it was, I was touched when I saw Linda at the funeral, actually, because she said to me, he always spoke very highly of you, Chris. And I haven't seen Horst for, about 15, 20 years. And I was in tears at that, because, oh, for fuck's sake. You know, but people, yeah, they separate and you have your own lives, you know what I mean? He's over in the States. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry for waving my hands, my jazz hands. No, you know, it's like, bah.
No, he did. He always spoke very highly of you.
But the last time I was in touch with him was a gig at the Academy. And he, you know, he put me on the list and I was there and I got that drunk. I thought, oh, I'm not bothering going backstage. And I also thought, even if I was sober in Manchester, the backstage for a Monday's gig is just going to be chocker of dead legs and hangers on it. Not even what I tried to get in and see anyone, you know. So I just left it. So I didn't even get to see him then, which is a shame, but such is life, yeah. You know.
Do you remember the last time you saw him?
Yeah, possibly it was a backstage at an Ian Brown show at the arena. I can't think what year, but I remember he was there. So, you know, I saw him then. But after that, I think that was probably the last time. But, I mean, when you mates with someone and then you see, you don't think of, oh, when you see him or not. You know, it's like, oh, bloody hell, I saw bloody Wayne Rooney yesterday. You'd remember when it was, you know what I mean? But if it's your pal, you know, because that's how he was to me, he's my pal.
So let's just go back.
Bloody only money bloody made me have an injection of heroin. A rogue.
What did he get you into it?
Well, no, I'd had smack, yeah, And he was like, I was living in Charlton. He's going, oh, let's go and get some. All right, let's get some gear, yeah. I thought we were just going to go and have a smoke. No, mate, I'd done it before. Oh, you know, now and again, you know, nothing. We turn up at this house in off Kingsway, Withington, Didsbury, somewhere like that. And they're cooking up and using needles. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And he goes to the lad who's gone, no, Chris is all right. He'll be all right. All right, okay then. Bang, the next thing I know, I've got my head hanging out of his car door, vomiting as we're careering all over Kingsway at about 3 o'clock in the morning. How we didn't crash or get arrested, I will never know to this day. We were driving about 4 miles an hour, just going across the road in zigzags. Oh, God. You look back and go, ha, 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 ha. But at the time, God. Oh, I just remember me head outside the car, vomiting all down the side. Oh, I could have turned blue. You know, it could have been touch, you know, it's like, but hey ho, such is life. Such is life. I mean, that's the only time I've ever, that was the one and only time I ever dug it. Nice one, Paul. Cheers, mate. Well, no, it kind of made me think, I ain't going there again. So in a way, it was a good thing because, you know, there's a lot of junkies, a lot of smackheads who, because, you know, if you toot it, then you get a tolerance, and then it's, I'll have a dig, and then it really, really works. But only works for about a week. And then after that, you've really got to start. And then that's, you know, you lose all your veins. I mean, I've got veins everywhere, me, man. I've been sat with places and people looking at me going, oh, I love them veins. Too bad, mate. I haven't fucked my body up that bad, you know what I mean? I drew a line in the sand at that one, you know. I'll sit on the floor and beg, but I ain't doing that. So, no, needles, nah, not for me. Because it takes you a whole way further down the line, if you know what I mean. You know,
it's a very dark, horrible path that, you know, I've always
thought of heroin as being a mistress, because you don't want to tell anyone about her, so she's always in the dark, you know, it's always hush, 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 you know, you don't say, oh, hey, look, I'm going, you know, it's, and she's a very seductive mistress. And at the end, she'll be really nice to you. But by the end, she'll ruin you. And that's the one way that I've always thought about heroin is she is a seductive mistress. Because like I say, you don't want people to know. So you keep her on the quiet. That's what you do with a mistress, isn't it? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And then then she starts taking over.
Is there a code where, like, obviously Paul knew that you were doing it, you knew Paul was doing it. Is it like a kind of code between you that you kind of keep it to yourselves, but you know that you're both in that same club?
I was never really addicted when I knew boss. I'd have a little dabble, you know. At one time, Sean said to me, fucking hell, Chris. You're the only man I know who can smoke a gram of smack and not want any the next day. And because I could do it one day and then just not even want it. And I wouldn't touch it for months. But once, so when I, you know, that's why I went out that time with us, it was like, yeah, we're going to have a smoke. I didn't realise we were going to have a dig. But I didn't want any the next day either. But all of a sudden you get to the point when it's like, need it every day. Well, it's not. But it's, well, first it's a want every day, and then it's the need every day, which is a lot worse.
So he talked quite a lot about his mental health breakdowns that came after the heroin got a grip of him, and he was in the grips of that. It basically sent him to being in a mental institution. Basically, he completely lost the plot And I think, I don't know, it's very brave of him to be that open about that. But I think he kind of wanted to share his experience so that other people could see that you can come out of that. There is a way out of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was like me with this book with Aslam. You just got, if you be honest about what's occurred, you can either It maybe not stop other people getting there, but you can help them when they're in that situation that they know there is a way out of the pit. You know, there is a ladder, a rope ladder that can be dropped down into the dark pit so you can climb out, right. You know.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
If you want to. A lot of people don't want to climb out of the pit. They're quite happy to be yeah. in it. But
so did Dave approach you about doing the book? Was it his idea?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a sneaky one, that Dave Haslam. He said he wanted to do a book about bands in Manchester that had never, you know, made it. So he wanted to talk about my band, the Badman Wagon, that, you know, from like the mid late 90s. And he said, you know, he was going to do all these other bands. And so we met up and we had a chat. And then he said, we'll meet again in a couple of weeks. I said, okay, Dave, yeah. And then when he came back to me, he said, well, I was thinking I might just write the book about you, Chris. So, pamper my ego, why don't you? of course. No, so I think he had it in his mind in the first place. He was sounding me out to see how, you know, to see where I was at and what was occurring. Because I bumped into him. I was still homeless and begging at the time, and I saw him one time, and he said, oh, take my number, because I'd like to have a chat with you. So maybe he wanted to do it, I don't know. But anyway, he did it, and it's a great little one-hour read.
Yeah, I'm gonna. What's the book called?
Not All Roses.
Not All Roses. Oh, what a brilliant title.
The Life and Times of Stephen Cresser.
So you were with the Roses for a while, weren't you? Was there kind of...
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I first started out in the back of the bus with the Mondays. And then after a time, in fact, it was after Finsbury Park in, it must have been 86, it was a factory do with ACR, New Order and the Railway Children. the manager at the time, Phil Sachs, said, Creth, because he had a bit of a lip, Creth, you're always in the van. Why don't you help Hoffman and set everything up and we'll pay you £20 a show? I said, all right, Phil. And so that's how I got into roadieing. And then the John and Ian, who was me other pals with Roses, said, oh, well, if you know, work for us, oh, okay, boom, boom, boom. If you're doing that, do this, boom, boom, boom. But then it came to the point where there were conflicting shows. So I had to make a decision. And as much as it hurt me, I went with the Roses. Not because it hurt me, because I went with the Roses for two reasons. One, because I'd known them longer. And also because I was on stage doing something. So it was a bit of ego thrown in there as well. So,
right.
But as Sean, we were in Leeds, and I've said, Sean, I'm not going to be at the next show. And you're a traitor, Chris. You're a traitor. But as I got off and got in a car to drive off, Bez and Horse was like, all right, see you later, Chris. See you later, mate. So, you know, but Sean came round in. He was a bit upset that,
yeah,
you know, but hey, I had to make I couldn't be in two places at once.
Describe what you were doing with the Roses on stage.
I was doing John Squire's guitar effects and then dancing like a berserk thing.
So you were like their Bez, really, weren't you?
Yeah, with better moves, man. Better moves. Come on. Come on. To this day, we've had this conversation, Bez and I. And I think he defers to me in the end. No, he doesn't really, but, you know, we have had this chat. Well, it's been said in when we've both been there a couple of times, and I have stated I'm the better dancer, or I was the better dancer. You know, we're all men now. In the day, yeah, just check out that Blackpool vid, the Roses. You'll see some moves, baby.
Right, I'm going to look some up on YouTube.
yeah, the Roses at Blackpool, yeah, 1989. Oh, I'm on fire.
Are you still friends with all the Roses?
Manny and Ian Rennie and me never got on, so that's not a problem. And I don't know what happened with John Squire. We were still really good friends up until about 10 years ago, and all of a sudden, like, a gate closed, and I don't know what... This is before I was even strung out on gear, you know. A gate just came down, and that was it. Boom. I was cut out of his life, which is quite hurtful, to be honest with you. I had lunch with Ian not so long ago. Manny, was it his 60th? Not so long ago. Yeah, so in that respect, yeah. But John, never understand. I don't know what occurred. Don't know why he fell out with me. But John's one of those people, once he's made, you know, that's it, boom.
So what do you want to do next? Like, what's the next thing for you in your life?
No, at the minute, I'm trying to make some tunes again with the bass player from Bad Man Wagon, my old pal Winker Watson. We just want to try and get four or five tunes together, get them on a laptop, do a bit of DJing, throw them in. See, I don't know, just doing that anyway. And
do you have any funny memories of Pot, any anecdotes that you'd want to tell, just to scrape? She got.
We're going to record the album, and it's the end of journalists there, and so so this journalist has said, "Oh yeah, you're flying to New York next week, I hear." And Bez has gone, "Flying out," and us just fell about laughing. He was rolling about on the floor because it was just, it was a beautiful Bez moment, and it was a beautiful horse moment, because he was just, he was literally, he couldn't stop laughing. And so afterwards, we'd always say, "Flying hunts," and he, you know, we'd know, that was like one of our little go-to jokes, "Flying hunts." He was literally on the floor rolling it, and Bez was like, what, because he didn't, you know. No, that's one of my favourite moments of ours, because he was just so natural.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sure.
Tell me about Derek's relationship with the rest of the crew.
When I first started working, well, like the first time I was supposed to work for him, I push the boxes, I'm getting it all out, I'm setting everything up, bum, 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 bum. And then it comes to cabling up, and Horseman's come up to me and gone, "Listen, Chris, I'm the kind of man who's going to go around and check everything. So just leave it to me. You just put everything in place and I'll do it." Fine by me, Horseman. You mean I've got less work to do? Brilliant. Horse, spicy brew, let's go. You know, no, Horseman, I mean, he was the driver. Sean used to just call him Worker Ant, because that's what he was. He would not stop. He was driving. He was before I started helping him, he was loading everything, setting everything up, cabling everything, taking it down, re-putting it in the van, driving him back, wherever it was. Right, the next, he had some oomph about him, Horseman, because he just wanted it for his lads. He was, I think in a way he was vicariously enjoying it, you know, because he used to write jokes for send them into two runners and stuff like that, didn't he? So, you know, he always wanted to be there, obviously. So he was just, can you imagine how proud he was of his lads, bloody, doing what they did? Yeah. And he wouldn't stop. He was, He was a geezer.
Yeah. Did the crew relate to Derek like he was a dad of Sean and Paul, or was he one of the lads?
No, Sean used to give him a bit, not even a stick. But I remember one time I was like, come on, Derek, I'm just about to have a spliff. And Sean said, come on. You know, he's like, show a bit of respect, you know, come on, you're working. So it's like, there was a thin line, but I mean, all the others treated Horseman as like the boss, you know what I mean? Obviously, Sean and Paul, he's a dad, isn't it? So there's a bit of a, you know, it's not as bad as the time I remember Horse trying to hit Sean over the head with his bass guitar. That was a good one in West Berlin. They're on stage, and this was West Berlin, that's how long ago it was. And I don't know what had been said at the end of some song, Sean's probably said, so, oh, you're out of tune, you know, something like, Horse just took it off and just went, he swung it like an axe. Well, thankfully, he fucking missed it. So then, I think Muzza was there, he jumped on it, and Horseman jumped on stage. And then it all calmed down 5 minutes later, right? And then they finished the show, but it was quite entertaining. Oh, happy. If you'd have hit him, wow. But that's brothers. That could have been something from when they were four, you know, over an Action Man or something, you know, something that's built up for years. You just don't know, do you, with brothers?
What about backstage in the dressing rooms? What sort of stuff was going on there after the gigs?
X-rated, come on. What wasn't going on? I'm surprised I've still got any nostrils. Until Ecstasy arrived, it was predominantly amphetamine and marijuana. And once the AIDS arrived, it was, obviously with LSD as well.
Yeah, tell me about when Ecstasy arrived and how that affected the band and the music.
Well, you can hear it, can't you? You know, you can hear it drifting in at the end of the second of Bummed and then Pills, Thrills and Bellyache. Wow, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Was it a good thing for their musical development, evolution?
Yeah, they didn't do him no harm. And no, Pills, Thrills, it's a great album. I don't know, Ecstasy. For me, I just thought it was great. But I think we all did. When it landed in the Hacienda, wow. For about, I don't know, say 6 weeks, that was like they call it, the second summer of, it really was a summer of love. In the Hacienda, you'd go, and it was, wow. Everyone was just, oh no, there really was something happening. And then unfortunately, after about that long, a few people realized there was a lot of money to be made, and that's when the darker forces started turning up, you know, i.e. gangsters wanting to make money, and that's everything goes downhill then.
I remember going to the Hacienda in that summer, and everybody was wearing Stone Roses t-shirts, and I was like, who are they? But like every other person in the Hacienda was literally wearing us, and I didn't know who they were, and I had to find out when I got home.
It's crazy. It was the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Well, the Stone Roses and the Happy Mondays.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It really was. Was there a big sense of camaraderie between the two bands? I mean, I know that they're great friends now.
Yeah. There was no animosity whatsoever. You can look it up. There's a Snub TV video of the Roses from the Hacienda, and I'm at the back there behind John doing my ting, wearing an Happy Mondays t-shirt. Which I just thought, well, yeah, it's the right thing to wear, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's what we do, it's who we are, and you know, I'm quite happy I did that actually, because it's, you know, I think it shows the time. There was no animosity between them whatsoever. No. They were both on Top of the Pops in the same episode. And I wasn't there. I was hungover at the hotel because they were only miming anyway, so they didn't need me to do John's things. I was, so apparently Tony Wilson backstage has gone, well, because Ian and Gaz Whelan had the same, is it Versace? Some bloody designer shirt, like a high-collared bloody thing. And he's kind of, well, our drummer has got the same shirt as your singer, so our band must be better than your band. You know, if our drummer can wear the same shirt, then he's better, you know. Only Anthony H. Wilson could come out with something like that, you know. But incredible to have the both the bands on the same bloody show. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, it showed that, you know, it showed that Madchester had made it, you know, whatever that means. But it just means that people had gone to it, I suppose. That's all I can think of in that respect.
How did you feel about when the Mondays really started to break through after Pills and Thrills and Step On came out and they became this phenomenon? How did that make you feel?
I was made up for them. Happy as Larry. Go for it, lads. I mean, when they, didn't they play in Brazil supporting Queen to like 200,000 people or something? I was just like, wow. You know, oh, so what the fuck was that like? I was made up for them big time. You know, from seeing them in Aldershot in 1986, and there's like 30 people there, and then they've got to that stage. Fucking great, man. Bloody great. Good on yous. Bloody great.
Can you remember where you were when you found out that Paul had died?
I think Jill got in touch with me. I was just at home, Jill got in touch, man. If yes, or what? Heard what? No. What? Wow. Just like, wow. Like you say, so something so out of the blue. Just, you know, someone's ill. You know, and you know that, you know, they're getting ill, they're progressively getting worse, or but just like that, when he's on tour, just bang, lines on a mirror, lines on a face. Eagles song that he once played me, lines on the mirror, lines on a face, life in the fast lane. And that's, you know, yeah, that's the way he, yeah. Well, the horse that I knew, that was the way that he, you know, when he was playing, that's the way it was. He was a real geezer. He wasn't fake. He was 100% real, you know. Fuck anyone who says he wasn't, because he was 100% real. And in life, if you can be real, that's the beautiful thing.
When you think of Paul now, what's the... the memory that comes to mind?
And he used to call me Mogwai.
Did he? Why did he call you Mogwai? Yeah.
Mogwai. Do your Mogwai smile. He called me Mogwai, but he really meant the gremlins, you know.
Oh.
That's what he meant, but for some reason he called me Mogwai. Chris, give me your smile. Mogwai. I mean, before that, they used to call me the Funky Monkey in the Far Out Flares when they first saw me in the Hacienda.
Right, okay.
And you couldn't miss me in my 21-inch bottom pink jumbo cord flares, could you?
You literally just met them in the Hacienda and then became friends just from being in the...
Just by being in the Hacienda, a melting pot, a cauldron of culture. The Hacienda... it's so missed. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the kids are doing these days, because I'm, you know, pushing 60 now. So hopefully they've got somewhere as... or maybe it's all on the internet these days, you know. But in my... I went to the Hacienda in 1983, as much as I could. And luckily, like I say, my pal Little Mike was a DJ there, so I could get in for now, which is always a bonus when you're skint. But I'd go as many times as I could, just because... almost felt like something was going to happen there. All right, it took 3, 4, nearly 5 years, but it did. And boy, did it happen. Boy, did it happen. So, I don't know. Was it a calling? I don't know. People these days, they go, oh, no, I never wanted to go to that gaff. It's too cliquey. What's the old fucking point of it? You were meant to be cool to go there. You were meant to be clued up to go there. It wasn't just Rotters or Placemate 7 or Pips or somewhere you just pay to go in. You got to know. You had to be in the know. Well, that's how it struck me. And that's why I wanted to be there, because I like to think I was in the know. Yeah, well, that's what it was. I know it sounds cliquey, yeah, so fucking what? I want to be in the clique. I want to be cool. I want to know what's going on. What's wrong with that? I want the culture. I want the knowledge. What's wrong with that? Do you want to have a dance, go to looking school disco?
Do you have a favourite Monday song?
Olive Oil.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I just love his bass line. Dung 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 dung, and it ding ding ding. It's almost like it's out of key when his guitar comes in, but it's just I just love it because it's almost fractured, but that's the beauty of it, and that intro bass line. No, it's yeah.
What do you think the secret was? Why do you think they captured the imagination of so many people in the day when
because they were real. Because they were real. They were real. That's my answer to that, is they were real.
If they'd been signed to a major label, that
they'd try to dilute them.
They wouldn't have been
they'd
allowed.
They'd try to mould them. They'd have tried to mould them and dilute them. That was the one beauty of Thatcher, just went, go ahead, do what you're doing. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, ah, well, we've lost some money, which is great on their part, and they did lose money on the last albums. But, hey, no, Anthony H. Wilson, Alan Erasmus, Factory Records, God bless them. They were a massive, massive part of Manchester. Massive. They should never be forgotten or underestimated.
Brilliant. Have you got any more stories you'd like to tell about Paul?
Not off the top of my head. Listen, if anything comes to mind, I'll somehow get me into you. Yeah? But it's just been great to have a chat with you. Yeah?
I really, really appreciate you letting us come in your living room and talk.
It's okay. It's okay. No, listen. Listen, for us, anything. I would have done anything for him. I'll do anything for him. You know what I mean?
All right,
lovely.
Lots of love, and thank you again.
Take care.
I'll be in touch soon, I promise you.
Yeah, sweet. All right. Anytime.
Yeah, okay, all right. Take care. See
Ciao.
You soon.
Ciao. Ciao for now.
That's all we've got for you this week. We're playing out with everyone's favourite from the Big Arm album Radiator. This is Flashbacks. Please join us again next week, where we have the lovely, lovely and hilarious studio owner, Latch, that everybody's been requesting. We finally have got it together to get the Latch episode ready. Be prepared, it's hilarious. Okay, please visit the website at paulryder.tv for all the information to do with all aspects of the show and of Paul Ryder that you might possibly want to know. Please join us again next week, where we will be having such a laugh with Latch. Have a fantastic week. Lots and lots of love to all of you. Massive thanks and love to the amazing, really lovely Cressa. And of course, big thanks to the man himself, the late, great Paul Anthony Ryder.
listening productions.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.